Today we're going to be looking at the last verses of this chapter, verses 11 through 24. Quite a bit to cover, but not a whole lot. We're going to be jumping back and forth between Galatians and Acts. So if you would put a marker in Acts chapter 8, that way you can get there quickly. But we will be jumping back and forth because today we're going to be looking at Paul's testimony. Paul's testimony, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this book of Galatians. So let's do a little review, though, remind ourselves where we are as we are walking through Galatians. Paul is writing to the people in Galatia, and his greeting, if you remember, to them, it was kind of cold because he realized that he says, you know, I haven't been gone from you too long, and now you're already being swayed by false teachers who have come in. And these false teachers are the Judaizers, and they are going around and basically saying, hey, Paul is a great man. He's teaching the gospel, you know, of Christ, and everything's great. But what he didn't tell you was that there is actually something else you're supposed to be doing in order to achieve salvation, not just believing in Christ's death, his burial, his resurrection, but there's more you have to do, and that is follow the law. The Jewish law. Basically, they were going around and saying that the gospel of Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, that's not enough. It's not adequate. There's more to it. There's more that you need to be doing. Paul says that anyone who goes around perverting the gospel should be accursed. That's what we talked about last time. So now we look at verses 11 and 12. Let's see what Paul has for us this morning. He says, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." I guarantee you that the reason Paul begins to explain his apostleship for us here is because the Judaizers were probably not just going around saying that the gospel wasn't adequate enough, you need to also follow the Jewish faith, you need to follow the law, but what they're also saying is, well, you know, Paul, he's not really one of the apostles, so he hasn't really been trained, you know, like he should have been, and so... So because of this, you know, he probably, you know, he knows about Christ and he knows about all this, but he doesn't quite understand that, you know, you also have to follow the law, and because he wasn't properly trained and, you know, and all this, and they're questioning even Paul's apostleship. So what he does for us here in verses 11 and 12, he begins to defend the fact that he is an apostle. Okay? We know that an apostle is one who is called by who? Called by God, right? Okay. That's what happened. And who called Paul on that road to Damascus? God did. Okay. He met God there. But let's look at what Paul is saying here. All right, let's look at the rest of this chapter today, and learn some things through Paul and his testimony as he begins to share that with us in the rest of this book, or this chapter today. Let's open in a word of prayer, though. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we look into the testimony of Paul today, that you would, Lord, if there's things in our lives, maybe there's someone here who doesn't truly know you, Lord, I pray that today would be a day that they could, through this man's testimony, see you. And Lord, I pray that you would just be with our service. Help it to honor and glorify you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul says, look, I make it known to you, brethren. He said, I am preaching the gospel that I preach. I didn't get it from man. It didn't come from some training that I've received, some laying on of hands or any of that kind of thing. I didn't get it from man. He said, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it. But it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Christ was revealed to Paul. Christ taught Paul the truth about the gospel and about himself. And then Paul is going around and sharing this with others. I'd like you to notice first, in Paul's testimony, the rabbi's mission. Look at verses 13 and 14. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. He said there his former conduct in Judaism. If you go over to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 22, actually, verse 3, I want you to notice what Paul says. Actually, this is Luke writing, but this is what he says. He says, then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. This is Paul's testimony. He's saying, look, I was born in Tarsus, in Cilicia. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm the son of a Pharisee, and I'm a Roman citizen. He was a student under Gamaliel. And he even said there he was zealous and fervent in the Jewish traditions. And as we noticed in these verses, he was advancing himself in his Judaism sect. And he was well known. People knew who Paul was. Of course, at that time they knew him as Saul, right? Saul of Tarsus. Okay? But they knew who he was. And he was becoming a very promising Pharisee. He was gonna become something. All right? Maybe even, who knows, maybe he would have become the chief among the Pharisees at some point. Who knows? But he was well on his way to becoming a great leader in the Jewish faith. And the first time we see anything about Saul is in Acts chapter 8, right? With the stoning of Stephen. Notice in Acts chapter 8, verse number 1, it says, now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So what's happened here at the end of Acts chapter 7, it's the stoning of Peter. And when Peter is stoned because he's teaching the gospel, and when he is stoned, the men that stone him laid their coats at whose feet? At Saul's feet. He was there. And chapter 8, verse 1, it said, now Saul was consenting to his death. In other words, he approved of it. And what did it say after that? At the time, a great persecution arose. So because of the stoning of Stephen, people began to scatter. People began to be afraid. They began to fear for their lives. And a great persecution arose in Jerusalem. And it said that all were scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Okay. So here we see this fervent man. He approves of the stoning of Stephen. But then notice he said that he had been persecuting. How I persecuted the church of God beyond measure in Galatians. Okay. I persecuted the church of God beyond measure. In Acts chapter 8, verse 3, it says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. He was fervent in what he was doing. He was zealous. He was going to get it done. He was going to get the job done. He was going to eradicate Jerusalem of all these heretics, is what he thought. And he thought he was on a mission from God. He really did. He slept really good. He thought he was doing right. Okay? He didn't have any doubts. He had a clear conscience. He thought Christ was an imposter, and that the message of salvation that he had taught and that was being spread by the apostles, he thought it was a lie. He believed, you know, and followed very strictly the Jewish faith. And many of them did not believe, right, that Christ was the Messiah. They didn't believe. And as he persecuted the people, if they denied Christ, if they would deny following the gospel and following the apostles, if they would deny it, he would let them live. But if they didn't, he was dragging them out of the house. He was dragging them through the streets. He was throwing them into prison and even killing and murdering these people. You know, it's interesting as we read through this today, and as we read through what Paul is telling us, and as we look at his testimony, this is what makes the conversion of Paul so unique, because it was only of God that he was going to change. It was only of God. It was not by any other means. It was only by God that he was going to change. So that leads us into verses 15 and 16 of Galatians chapter 3, as we look at the sinner converted. We know what the rabbi's mission was. He was out to get the Christians. He was out to destroy anything about Christ and about the gospel that was being taught. But in verse 15 of Galatians chapter 1, Paul begins to share with us what God does in his life. Okay? It says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood." And then verse 24, it says, "And they glorified God in me." What I want you to notice here, first of all, is the sinner is converted through God's work. It took God's work. Notice what he said. He said, it pleased God to reveal his Son in me. Jonah chapter 2 verse 9 says, "Salvation is of the Lord." It is only of God that Paul accepted Christ. It is only of God that Paul was revealed. It was revealed to him that Jesus was the Son of God. He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. It was important for his death, his burial, his resurrection, and that those that believe in that can be saved from their sins. It's God who works in each and every one of our lives to reveal to us our need of salvation, to reveal to us that we need Jesus Christ in order to be saved from our sins. It is God who works in us to reveal to us that we are a sinner, that there is none of us that are righteous. There's none of us that are good. Paul was following a tradition. He wasn't following God. He was following a tradition, thinking that he was doing God's will, thinking that he was a righteous man, and that he was just in all that he did. And yet then God stopped him one day and said, "Hold up. You're not doing what's right. You're not following me. As a matter of fact, you're persecuting me." Look in Acts chapter 9. Look what it says in verse 1. "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters for him to the synagogues of Damascus, So that if he found any who were of the way, right? The way of the gospel, the way of Christ, the way of the apostles. If he found any people of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." This is the point when Saul or Paul's life changed, wasn't it? This is the event when Christ revealed himself. And Paul said in Galatians, "It pleased God to reveal his son to me." It was God's work. But also, number two, it was God's grace. It was God's grace. It was by grace that Paul was saved. What did he say? "But when it pleased God, and he called me through his grace." He called me through his grace. He showed mercy upon me. Very easily, when he met Christ on the road, Christ could have said, "Hey, you're persecuting me. You're done. You're out of here. Hey, you're not going to do this anymore." No, he knew he could use Paul, right? And we'll talk about that here in just a minute, because it was because of Paul's training and everything he's gone through that he took that same zeal that he had when he was persecuting the church, and God used it to spread his gospel. Isn't that amazing? It's only by God that this could happen to this man, and by God's grace. Notice the other word there he used, though. He said, "and called me through his grace." You know, grace and called, they go together, right? Those who God chooses to save by his grace, he also calls them through his word. Hey, there came a point in your life, right, if you know the Lord Jesus in your heart, that you heard the call, right? You heard the knocking on your heart's door, that he revealed it to you, right? And that he called you to himself, and by his grace he saved you. This is what God does for us. We'll never understand all the mysteries of God. We'll never understand everything about God. But what we do know that God is not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter 3:9. He doesn't want any to perish. We also know that if we've trusted Christ, we're chosen by him. Ephesians 1:4 says, "Before the foundation of the world, you were chosen." He calls. He was going to call you. He knew it. He was extending grace even then. So Paul says, it's only by, "it pleased God to call me through his grace to reveal his son to me." It pleased him. And it was God's work in my life. It was God's grace in my life that I was saved. But not only is it God's work and God's grace, but he said to reveal his son in me. Christ was revealed. Number three, Christ was revealed to Paul. Paul was a self-righteous man. He was religious. He had his reputation. He had his recognition. But he didn't know Christ. He didn't know who Christ was. His eyes were opened on that day on the road to Damascus. And in Isaiah 64:6, it says, "All his righteousness was like filthy rags." He realized it. He said, "All the goodness that I think I'm doing, all the righteousness that I think I've achieved and attained, it's nothing. It's filthy rags. Worthless." And Saul's life before conversion, it was all about his outward appearance, his outward view, what people thought of him. But when Christ came into his life, he made an internal change. He changed him internally, an inward change. Like no other man. He says, look, back in Acts chapter 9, it says, what happened next? It said, and the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Okay, he was on his way to Damascus, right? With a decree from the high priest that said, anybody who's following the way, you can go in, you can capture them, you can arrest them, you can bring them back to Jerusalem, and we'll do what we need to do. People in Damascus had probably heard about this, right? They knew Paul. They knew what he was doing. And yet now here comes this man who was on his way to arrest people. He's coming into a city blind, being led by his men. And there's probably some head scratching going on. Like, what's going on? What's happening? And so then, notice verse 10. Notice what God does. He says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus. Just happened to be a disciple there, right? It's all God's work. It's all God's plan. There was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Notice what Ananias says. Verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man. You see, they've heard about it. They knew who he was. How much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. I know about this. I know who he is. And yet the Lord says, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. You see, Christ changed this man. He was revealed. Christ was revealed to Paul, and he was instantly changed. And now God says, I'm going to use him. Use him for what? For salvation for others. That's what he said, right? Number four, salvation for others. God saved Paul so that he could preach the gospel to the Gentiles. That was what he said, right? He's going to bear my name before the Gentiles, before kings, and to the children of Israel. God was going to use him. Where were the other apostles? Jerusalem, right? Who are they ministering to? Jews, right? Who's going to the other people? Who's going to the Gentiles? Nobody. Nobody. And yet God says, Paul, Saul, he's my man. He's the one I'm going to choose. He's the one I'm going to use. He's going to take the salvation of the gospel to other people. You know, you think about it. There is no way a devout Jewish rabbi as Paul was, that he would choose to go to the Gentiles. Why? Because the Jews looked upon them as hated people, defiled people, right? We do not associate with them. They were despised. Again, this shows us beyond a shadow of a doubt that Paul was truly, truly converted by God. Why? Because he was called to go to those despised, hated people and share the love of God to them. Hey, we know of another guy who was called to go to really hated, defiled people who didn't really follow what God wanted him to do, right? Instead of going to them, he ran the opposite direction. Who was that? Jonah, right? When Jonah was called to go to Nineveh and share the gospel and tell the people that, hey, if you don't turn to God, if you don't turn to follow God and quit following your idols, God's going to destroy Nineveh. And even when the Ninevites confessed and got rid of their idols and they pled with God in sackcloth and ashes and God forgave them and he didn't destroy the city, Jonah pouted, right? He was mad. Why would you save these wicked people? Because God loves everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God had a plan. He wanted someone to take the gospel to the Gentiles, and who better to use than a zealous Jewish rabbi who's been totally changed and converted by God to take the gospel of salvation to others. Why did God do this? Why would God choose this man? Well, verse 24 said, and they glorified God in me. That's number five. All of this, God's work, God's grace, Christ being revealed, salvation offered to others, all of this is for God's glory. And Paul's conversion was to glorify God. And that's what Paul is letting us know here. He's saying, look, it pleased God to do this. It brought glory to him, to call me to himself, to reveal himself to me, to show grace to me. Why? Because it was my job. Right? He even says that, to reveal his Son, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. That is my job, to go and share the gospel. I'm no longer... It's not my job anymore to go and persecute the church. It's not my job anymore to go arrest people and kill people for following after God. No, it's my job now to take that gospel that I was persecuting and share it with the world. Share it with Gentiles. See, Paul wanted us to know something very important. He's defending his apostleship and he wants us to know that he's not had contact with anybody. What did he say at the end of verse 16? He said, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. I haven't had any contact with other people, with the other apostles. Okay, this isn't from them. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it would have probably made sense after his conversion, right? To go to Jerusalem and to sit with the apostles and talk to the apostles, tell them about his conversion and about God choosing him to go to the Gentiles and then getting their seal of approval to say, yeah, you can go take the, you go spread the gospel. You go, you're an apostle, you're one of us. He didn't do that. He said, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. This is really important because he wants us to understand that the role he is entrusted with here, this is a role given to him by God, not somebody else. Not a man, okay, not a group of men. This is God's role. This is God's job. This is God's choosing of Paul to do this. Upon the stoning of Stephen, if you remember where we read that in verse 8, it said, or chapter 8, it said, now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, great persecution arose. Many of the church in Jerusalem were persecuted, but it said, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. After the stoning of Stephen, we begin to read and see how even some of the apostles began going out other places besides just Jerusalem. And so the gospel, this is the event, the stoning of Stephen, that God uses to say, okay, y'all got to go out now. You know, what did he say when he was getting ready to go up into heaven? He's like, y'all go spread the gospel, right, to all the world. They were just in Jerusalem in their little group teaching and giving the gospel to the Jews. And the Lord's like, something's got to give. We got to get them motivated. Get it out. So the stoning of Stephen happens, and then everything starts to change. Verse 4, it says, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, another place of Gentiles that the Jews would not go, right, to the Samaritan people. He goes, and he's sharing the gospel. So it was the event of Stephen's death that motivated and pushed them to go. And so it was also then Paul's conversion that he says, okay, well, the gospel's starting to spread now. Now I'm going to use this guy to spread even further. And so that then leads us to point number 3, the traveling preacher. The traveling preacher. Notice what he says. He said in verse 16, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. All right, so notice here, it says, this is Paul, he says, I didn't go and confer with flesh and blood. I didn't go to Jerusalem to where the other apostles were. Where did he go first? Arabia. Arabia? Why would he go to Arabia? In Acts chapter 9, verses 19 and 20, it says, this is after Ananias has come to Saul. Saul has been given his sight back. And it says in verse 19, so when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Okay, so here he begins his ministry, right? Begins speaking in the synagogue. Now, it didn't say Arabia there in Acts, did it? That got left out. Okay? We know Paul's not lying to us. He did say he went to Arabia. Okay. He wants us to know this because there's something specific about it. He wants us to know that he spent some time in Arabia. And what was he doing? Well, how long was the time between his conversion to when he shows up in Jerusalem? 3 years, right? Or he says, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. This is important. How long were the disciples with Christ? 3 years. Learning, being taught by Christ. They even had opportunity to minister and to go out and share the message of Christ. And it took 3 years until Christ's death, his burial, his resurrection. And here Paul wants us to know, hey, I was doing the same thing for 3 years. We don't have a whole lot of information about this, but I'm sure he's conversing with the Lord. He's learning. He's being taught. He's He's beginning to everything be revealed to him as far as the gospel and what he needs to teach and to preach and to share with the Gentiles. Paul spent time learning from the Lord, I'm sure. I mean, what else could he have been doing those 3 years, right? We do know that he was preaching, because immediately after he had received his sight and he had received some food, he spent some days with the disciples at Damascus, immediately preaching the gospel of Christ in the synagogue. But he hasn't gone to Jerusalem yet. He went to Arabia. Paul needed training. How long? How long? He needed time. Just like the disciples needed training and time from Christ to spread the gospel, Paul needed the same thing. But then he said he went and returned again to Damascus. So at some point within this three-year time, he comes back to Damascus, right? And what happens then? Well, if you look back at Acts chapter 9 and verse 21, it says, "Then all who heard were amazed and said, 'Is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?' But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket." So at some point when he's in Damascus, whether at the beginning or here, when he says he returned again to Damascus, at some point, Acts isn't very clear, but this is what he's saying here in Galatians. He's gone back to Damascus. At some point, this event of him being let down from the wall happened, right? The way Acts is written, you would think it probably happened at the beginning when he was in Damascus originally, right? But at some point, he goes back to the city. His life has been changed. He's spreading the gospel. He's teaching and preaching in the synagogues. And then he finally says, look, then I finally, after 3 years, went to Jerusalem. Why would he do this at this time? What's going on? Why would he go to Jerusalem? Well, back in Acts chapter 9, verse 26, he says, "And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples." He tried to get a meeting with the disciples. He tried to get in and say, look, I am one of you. I have been called from God. Here's my testimony. But they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. They were afraid. They didn't believe it. They knew about him, right? They all knew about him because he was going around arresting people. And they didn't believe it. Verse 27, but Barnabas. Hey, we know that name, don't we? Don't he and Paul later down the road minister together? Yeah. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. So we see when he goes to Jerusalem, Paul goes, and he said in Galatians, how long was he there? With Peter? What did he say in verse 18? Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. Just 15 days, not long, when he was there. This event that we just read in Acts, that was a 15-day period. So he was just there 15 days. He has trouble getting in to see the apostles. They doubted his conversion. Notice also that there's really not a whole lot of time here for him to receive his apostleship from the disciples. He's only there 15 days. And at first, we don't know how long it was before Barnabas finally said, "Hey, come with me. I'll take you to the disciples. I'll take you to share your testimony." We don't know how long the time that was. Okay? He could have been in Jerusalem several days before Barnabas finally said, "Hey, let's go." Who knows? But there wasn't a whole lot of time. Paul's wanting us to understand there was not a whole lot of time for any of this to happen or any of my being an apostle to take place with them. This is all of who? God. It's all of God. Okay? Everything that's happened, it's all of God, and it's all of God's choosing. It's not because of man. It's not because of some ritual or ceremony that took place. There was no time. This is all of God's doing. And then he said, "But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother." Yeah, he doesn't wonder why he doesn't mention Barnabas here. He saw Barnabas, and Barnabas took him, but he didn't mention him here. But he did say, "Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia." So he went to Arabia, he went to Damascus, he went to Jerusalem, then now he goes back to Tarsus, because that's what it says in Acts, right? They brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Paul leaves Jerusalem because they're threatening to kill him, and the other disciples realize this. They send him out. He went through Syria. This is what he says in Galatians, right? Syria, that's part of Caesarea, okay? And then he preached the gospel there. Then he went to Cilicia. That's what he says there in Galatians, right? Verse 21. "Afterward, I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia." Cilicia brings him back to his hometown of Tarsus. Okay, so this is the route he took to get back home. And many historians believe that Paul was probably here, back at home, roughly around 7 years before who comes to Paul and says, "Hey, let's go on a missionary journey?" Barnabas. Okay. Barnabas shows up and recruits him to take the missionary journey to Antioch. This is Paul's testimony here. This is what's happening to him. But notice what he said in verse 23. "But they," or verse 22, "and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ." All that they knew was, hey, the one that used to persecute the church, he's now preaching the gospel, but they didn't recognize who he was. Isn't that what he said? "I was not recognized. I was unknown by face to the church. But yet, they heard about this man who once persecuted the church. He's now preaching the faith, which he once tried to destroy." Paul's conversion was genuine. This was all of God. All of God's doing. All of God's work. His apostleship, it was appointed by God. Why is all of this important? Why does he do all this? Well, like we said when we began this trip through Galatians, the Judaizers were questioning who Paul was. They were questioning not just the gospel, but even Paul himself. That whether he even had the right to share the gospel. Okay? Because he wasn't teaching that, you know, the gospel plus. He was teaching, no, it's the gospel only that will save your soul. And so beginning in this beginning of chapter 1 of the book of Galatians here, he's having to defend his apostleship. He's having to defend his call to the ministry to preach the gospel. But then as we get a little further and as we get another chance down the road to continue through this study, we'll see how in chapter 2, now he begins to defend the gospel. He's defended himself. He's defended his apostleship. He's defended his call to God, to God's work and ministry of spreading the gospel to the Gentiles. But in chapter 2, he begins to defend the gospel itself, explaining that Christ's death, his burial, his resurrection, that's salvation. It's not salvation plus something else. It's not salvation plus works. Okay? It's faith in Christ alone. It's faith in God alone that saves us from our sins. And so this is what Paul wants us to understand. Paul said, if anyone teaches you another gospel besides God's word, they try to add to it, or they take away, he says, they should be accursed. God's saving gospel is one that is unique to each and every one of us. If you've accepted Christ in your heart as your personal Savior, you've had a unique change in your life take place. But we all have one thing in common. It was by God's grace that he called us to himself, like he called Paul. Let's go to Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we just thank you.